Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve the living and mighty God. Our God is mighty. And he thinks of everything. And he doesn't let things get by him. Everything that goes wrong, he immediately has a plan to counter it. And that's how we got to be. We are mighty in him. Everything we do in him. If we're saved, we believe on Jesus. In him, we live, move, and have our being. In him, we grow from glory to glory. In him, we love our brothers and sisters. We love the contrary. In him, we grow. In him, we become mighty. Indeed. And as he is, so are we in this world. We were made righteous. I'm not righteous because I want to be. I'm righteous because I believe on him. And I do desire to do right. I don't want to sin against my God. I will do all that's within my power, and I will do it in his strength to obey him fully. I don't want to desire anything wrong. I don't want to do anything wrong. I don't want to be anything wrong. And I don't want to remind the Lord my God of his enemy. That's why I confess I will do all that's in his heart. I trust him. Now, the more I trust the Lord, the more I want to trust him. And the more I learn about him, the more I want to know about him. It's more fun to me to learn about the Lord and learn to operate in his ways than everything else I know of. It's very interesting learning about him and how he works and how to go forward when people are to, like the salmon that's going upstream when everything else is going downstream. It's important to do the things of God. Sometimes you have to swim upstream in this world. And people have deviated from the heart of God's will. It was wonderful to learn about faith and how to operate in faith. And every time I learn how to do things the correct way, I love it. It's good. But you have to have a heart that will fight. You have to be a warrior and enforce Satan's defeat, because he is against us and he's trying to harm us. He doesn't like us and I don't like him. But I'm not afraid of him and I'm not afraid of anything. And whatever I have to do on this earth, I'm ready to do it. I want to do all that's in the heart of my God, my Lord, Jesus Christ. He's my King. And I don't ever want to be in a position where I don't believe his words. I don't ever want to have a doubtful disposition against God. I don't ever, never, and I mean never, want to be in any form of unbelief. Everything I'm supposed to believe, I choose to believe. It's my will. And we talked about the will this morning and getting other people on board with what God will have you to do. You have to follow the protocol of God with every person. Some people are capable of doing great things. But the Lord will show you when to do what, with who, and how. And he'll give you wisdom of how to deal with every person. Once the Lord exposed, you know, I talked about how he'll show you the truth of people. And sometimes he'll let you know their limitations. And that's as far as they can go. But support them. Help them do whatever it is God will have them to do. But you can't trust people to help you to do something that you've been trained for. If you had to be trained for it, and God had to get you to the point He's gotten you to at, you know, you made it to a certain point, and now you want other people to help you, and they're not trained, that's not going to work. You have to understand that whoever helps you do God's business, they have to be in one accord. When people are, some people are growing from glory to glory, and they have enough strength. They may have enough strength to help you do whatever it is God is doing, but they may not have the anointing. They may have the anointing, but not the will. You know, when the Lord released things to be, it'll be right. Now, I'm saying this because you have to think strategy. You have to think how God thinks. And I see a lot of ministers trying to drag a lot of other people into what God gave them to do. Now, when it comes to a body, everybody can't help you in ministry. They have a part to play. They can do something. And it's got to be in love. They've got to be willing and able to do it. And some people are not willing or able to do it. Some people may desire to do it, but when they see how what's involved, they may sign off on it. They may say, no, I can't go that far. Now, there's a story I'm reminded of. The Holy Spirit, I love Him. He's so wonderful. Lester Summerall, he spent time with Howard Carter. And the Lord sent Howard Carter to do His will. And he was basically an apostle. He went all over the earth, wherever God was sending, ministering. And he gave him Lester Summerall to help him. And the Lord sent Lester Summerall to help him. And if you read his book, he committed himself to helping that man. He walked up to him and spoke a word prophetically that he would help him and help throughout the rest of his life and take care of him when he's old. And this was a deep commitment. Well, Howard Carter left, and he didn't know where he was going. But everywhere he went, he left word for the man that would follow him. He didn't wait on him, and, you know, Lester Summerall went and sold his car and got ready, and he forgot to get his address where he was at. So he had to ask around. Now, he didn't give up. Remember, there was no cell phones back then. But Howard Carter left word wherever he went. He went to other continents, not just across our nation, but he went to other cities and then other continents, and Lester Summerall kept following and finally caught up with him. Because when you have to do something that, like Howard Carter was doing, you had to be 100% about it. You had to be willing and obedient and anointed. And Howard Carter didn't slow down. He let Lester Summerall use his faith and catch up, and he did. The Lord our God does think of everything, and everybody when He give you people, they'll be strong enough. Now, Lester Summerall was entering into ministry that required an anointing and great maturity, a heart that don't quit, and that's the kind of heart that Howard Carter had, or has. He didn't stop having a determined heart. He didn't look back, and he required what he needed and what God needed required a person to do and carry out God's will without excuse. And he had a taste of what he was getting himself into as he tried to find Howard Carter. And he didn't give up. And his whole ministry was that way. Now, my pastor had a chance to meet dinner with him, and he asked the question, "How did you keep doing it? How did you do it?" He said, "Just don't quit. Keep doing what God gives you every time." And you begin to have a winner's attitude. That's what's required in this life. Now the enemy is working here and there. I know Satan because I've had dealings with him. He tried to stop me many times in all forms. In every kind of way a man can be tempted, he tried to tempt me. He tried to throw me off course. He tried to change my focus. When temptations wouldn't work, he tried to get me to get into misery and be miserable and change my focus because things went wrong. None of that worked. The more I looked to the Lord, the stronger I got. The more I heard God's word, the words of my God, my Savior, guidance from the Holy Spirit, the stronger I got. The more I looked to the Lord, and the more I saw things for what they truly are. And, you know, I've seen so many ministers, as they're excited, they begin to be, at first they're excited about the vision God gave them. And they try to rally other people to get on board. And that's good. Sometimes there are things that people can do. And they can get on board and be blessed. Anybody that get on board with a vision that truly comes from God will be blessed. That's where you... sowing and reaping again. The best sowing is the heart of God's will. You can't get any better than that. When God gives you something to do and you pull it off, you're sowing and you're going to reap a great harvest. And if you don't quit, you're going to see what the old preacher been talking about. It's going to be wonderful. It's war. It's going to be war just like it's going to be wonderful. But this is a war you can win. And the more you believe, the easier it is to win that war. See, when you believe on Christ, when you believe His word, when you believe Jesus, and you act on His word, and you do what He's saying to do, great things begin to happen for you. It's not hard to stop Satan and drive him out of your life. And you don't have to... worry about whether he'll leave or not. You don't have to live in worry and depression and all these things. You don't focus on Satan. Focus on the Lord. You speak what you want according to God's word, and Satan has to obey you. He's got to leave your life. Now, we have authority over him to stop him from interfering in our life. So when God give me an assignment, I pray over it, I bless it, and I pray over it. I ask the Lord's blessing over it. And I do it with all the intent and determination in my heart. And I let it mount up. I don't limit God on how big it can grow, and I don't let Satan cause me to believe the worst. I don't fall for his temptations to doubt. There are temptations to doubt, just like there are temptations of pleasure. He can tempt you with pleasurable things. He can tempt you to fear. He can tempt you to doubt. But you don't have to receive it. I receive God's word, and I don't receive the lies of the enemy. Now, the enemy, I know Satan from fighting on a personal level, and then ministry, I have to contend for the faith so I can spread the gospel. And then I have to pray for people so that they don't get hurt or killed that I love and that are in my life. Because Satan is trying to hinder them to get to me, to change my focus. So I don't just pray for my ministry. I pray for my children, their well-being, their health, everybody around. My parents are going to be with the Lord, but I pray for my sisters, their children, my wife. Everybody in the lives of my children, I pray for them. Aunts, uncles, anybody the enemy would use to get to me, even my coworkers and where I work. I protect my job. I protect the people on my job. You don't have to go out and to protect people. You can do that wherever you are. You can just pray a blessing over them and stop Satan's work and activity. When I see a fight about to break out, I stop the enemy, and it works every time. If I hear about something, I rebuke it. I stop Satan wherever there's satanic activity, if I see it or hear about it, I stop it immediately. When people are sick, I rebuke the spirit of death, and I pray healing for them. Now, they still got to get healed, but I can stop death, and then I pray for, I pray for them, and people live. I've had good success stopping Satan in his tracks. Now, when it comes to warfare, I know the enemy. I fought him personally to protect my life and the lives of my loved ones. Then the ministry, wherever I got a minister at. When I'm invited to a church, I began doing warfare. I said, I rebuke the enemy. And if I got to preach at a church, especially a church that I haven't, it's my first time going, I rebuke the enemy. He's going to try to hinder and waste time. You know, he'll do anything to keep that word from going forward. And as a young minister, he used to try to steal my time. Everything would take too long and people would talk too long and waste the time. And then when you get up to preach, you don't have 15, 20 minutes. So I had to learn to do warfare just to preach 30 minutes. So I know the enemy because I fight him. Now, on a national level, he got a plot against our nation, against our state, against our city, against your neighborhoods. So he has a plot not only against your family, and most Christians, they'll fight for their family and their church. And they kind of let everything else go. But you got to do warfare for your neighborhood. Which means you also got to do ministry for your neighborhood. Ministry is warfare. Educating people in the ways of God is warfare. And Satan will try to stop you. And so many people are discouraged because they won't fight. Not because they're not anointed or willing or obedient. They just don't fight and they allow Satan to mess up what they're doing. But you got to be proactive and you got to fight offensively. You got to start the fight. Stop letting Satan start the fight. He already started it. If you're going to do something for God, for the Lord, start protecting it. Even if it's down to just raising your children in the way they should go. There are people who are not, lukewarm people will try to undo what you do for your children. You teach them in the ways of God, they'll just start blabbing out things that won't work, trying to get them to be worldly normal. And you got to, who's keeping your children? You're teaching them everything right. You leave them over at grandma's house, then your lukewarm sister or brother come over there and just act a fool. Buy them things that you don't want them to have. You know, you tell them not to watch things like Harry Potter, they go buy the CD for, or the DVD for. Throw it in the garbage. They disrespecting you as their parent. Sometimes siblings overstep their boundaries. Sometimes people do things they shouldn't do. And these things happen. It's spiritual warfare. It's not personal. You don't have to get upset with, because people will do anything. If they agree with it, they'll do it. But training your children in the way that they should go and guiding them right is your responsibility. And then there are people who have ex-wives or ex-husbands that may not be on board. Do it God's way anyway. God can, if you got to pray over your children and protect them. People will interfere and it will affect your children. But your words are carrying more weight, especially if you follow God and you teach them in God's strength. We do everything in the strength of the Lord. And raising children, I wish I was around more people that would listen, personally. But I'm going to tell you something about marriage and raising children. Before you have children, do all you can to prepare a good, wholesome place to live. If I could do everything over, I didn't do terrible. I like a lot of things turned out right. Some things didn't. But I would try to get out of debt. Instead of buying the most fabulous house that you're going to have to work two jobs to pay for, get a house you can pay for. Work a job so you don't have to work a lot of overtime, because your children need you in the house with them. And the younger they are, the more they need your time with them. And if it's at all possible, try to set it up so that if you're a man, so that your wife don't have to go and get a job while they're very young, so she can spend the nurturing time with them while they're very young. And if your wife loves God, then they're going to be praying over the children and structuring the children while they're very young. This is very important. Put off getting an excessive debt. Get the things you mainly need. If you got a good vehicle, fix it where it don't break down, so that your family won't be vulnerable. Buy the best tires you can get, or at least brand new, indated tires, not outdated tires, so that you can reduce flats and breakdowns. And if there's ever a time you need a good, reliable car, it's when you have babies. You don't need to be broke down on the side of the road with a child. And you don't need to put a child on a car that the heater and the air conditioner don't have work. If you think ahead, you can avoid some problems. If you look around, you'll see the kind of problems people have. Just don't do what they do. Pray for better. So that you can be around your children while they're young. And then when you get, and you have to do, teach them the things you're learning. Teach them the things, be honest with them about godly things. I taught my children the Word of God. Now, my parents tried to shelter me from the harsh warfare of the Word. But when my children were young, I taught them things. But as they got out of toddler stage, I stopped dancing around the war. I started showing them things that really happened, so that they could be sober. Because everybody is born into this fight. Letting them grow up not knowing about the fight and not knowing how to use their faith is a no-no. They can get caught up in the system of this world and be messed up forever. And it will turn the system of this world, unchecked, will turn their heart against God. That's what the world system is trying to do. I told all of my children, I said, Satan's going to try to turn you around. Don't let him do it. I said, at college, they're going to teach against Christ. When I went to college in the Bible Belt in Birmingham at UAB, the English teacher taught books written by atheists and witches and people that just downright hated God, and she thought they were heroes. She acted like they were some of the best people in the world. These were the most low-down people writing literature. And I don't know why people have a vendetta against God, but I know why Satan does. So I've seen the world strip people of their innocence and against their morals. Now, otherwise, if you saw her in any grocery store, you would have thought she was an upstanding citizen. I mean, she didn't look to be on drugs. She wasn't a drunk that I know of. She never smelled alcohol on her breath, not even cigarettes. But she taught books from the bottom of the barrel. It's what she was using to teach English with. So I would write things, this was before the Lord anointed me to write like I did, but I would write things that made her think. And she said it in my writing, she said, "You always make me think." And I did it in a roundabout way. Because everybody has a soul, and that soul is precious to God. So when it's time for people to wake up. This is a warfare. Satan has a plan against your country. He's trying to destroy it from the inside and without. If Satan had his way, he'd start a civil war in America and attack it with other countries at their most vulnerable moment. And there are people that will do it. They don't think like you. And he'll use illusion to think that, to not see what's really happening. Our nation is divided, so it's not going to stand. Half of the country want to go one way. Half want to go the other way. There's corruption everywhere. There are traitors selling our secrets to our enemies. I'm not saying this to frighten you. This is how Satan always was. This is how it always was. And you're going to have to wake up and follow God. And you have to be determined. Just like Lester Sumrall found Howard Carter and walked with him and fought and did the work right back, right with him till he was very old. He stuck with him. And eventually he raised a family and he finished his course. That man was an apostle in my eyes. And he prophesied, and the things he prophesied came to pass. He was a true man of God. Listen, you can finish your course. If Paul could do it, you could do it. If Jesus did it, you could do it. Because we could do all things and greater works than these, he said we would do if we believe. So as we receive God's word, every part that we receive, that's where our faith comes from. The part we reject, that's not where our faith comes from. Because we rejected God's word in those areas. I was telling a friend today that the seminary theologians were groomed to reject the spiritual things of God, the move of the Holy Ghost, healing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and spiritual gifts. They were groomed to reject all that. They were groomed to reject it, push it away. And they think they're right. They think they're wise. And remember, I did a series on different worlds. I wasn't talking about different planets. I'm talking about this earth, and there are different societies within the earth. And I was talking about how these worlds collide, these societies collide. There are people stick together with their, Christian groups stick with their own Christian group, and that's their method of doing things. That's how they do it, and that's how, and everybody in their organization, they are the heroes. They are the great men of God. Every group has their own set of heroes and front runners, and the people they look up to, and they'll listen to them before they listen to you. But there are great men and women all over the place that love God, and everybody know in part, and they act like they know in part. Because if they know in part, they also lack knowledge in part. And the knowledge they lack can hinder them from receiving knowledge in some, just like in the denominational churches, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran churches, some Catholic churches, they won't receive knowledge about the move of the Holy Ghost, prophecy and tongues, speaking in tongues and healing. And then there are some that will, because they watch the worlds collide when they watch Christian TV and hear Christian radio, and they hear testimonies of people who are receiving and being benefited by the move of the Holy Spirit. And then there are people, I told them also, there are people who receive the Holy Spirit and they don't, sometimes they don't, they can, holding on to what God said is dedication, and it's required. But we can be mighty enough to pull down any strongholds we need to. And then we in our authority, we operate exponentially. That's why it's so important for us to pray things through. That's why I pray for my nation. I pray for my government. I pray for the presidents, and not just the party I like. You got to pray for people in both parties, good people in both parties. But see, because people won't fight back and they're not trained in spiritual warfare, they don't, that means they don't fight a spiritual warfare. And the longer people are operate in Congress, the demons sent by Satan to control the House and the Senate and the presidency, because that's what they try to do. This is not personal. I'm not talking about a particular person. They don't know what they're fighting against. The influences that they walk into, they think they see things a certain way, and the enemy play them to do things the way he wants them done. I'm not talking about a few of them. I'm talking about all of them. It takes godly character to win this fight. Every president that begins, that's the strongest they are, unless they have a network of people praying for them. They enter in with good ideas. They want to do good things. All of them have that in common. Some of them may have agendas, but most of them don't. But when they get in there, just like the world system, it grooms you. The teacher I mentioned in Birmingham, she's just one of the many. The enemy groomed them to teach wrong. But I bet if you follow her back to her childhood, she was probably raised in a decent home. And her parents probably didn't take her to church, or maybe they did. And the enemy seduced her somewhere. He can take good people down the wrong path for a portion of time in their life. But if you train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from the training, because they'll figure out that the world don't work. And everybody wants a